Greetings to the brightest audience in the Western Hemisphere, nay, perhaps the entire world. I am not Bob Enyart, America's only self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. My name's Doug McBurney, and I am sitting in this whole week for Bob while he's off in Israel on tour. The number to call, if you choose to do so, is 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. No pressure, though. No need to call. I got a ton of news. I even have news from Israel regarding Bob and the crew over there. Some very interesting goings on, if you will. Off the wires, though, from Israel. Dateline Jerusalem. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon convened a meeting of his inner security cabinet this afternoon, following two bomb blasts in Jerusalem. The suspected bomber was killed and at least 10 were wounded when a bomb exploded near a bus in the residential neighborhood of French Hill on the edge of East Jerusalem. The attack followed a car bomb blast that left 3 people wounded at the Talpiot retail and industrial area in South Jerusalem. So the bombs are exploding in Jerusalem. I'm not sure if our group is in the Galilee still, or if they've made it down to Jerusalem. But very tense situation over there. Yesterday, a baby was killed by Palestinian gunfire, suspected to be a Palestinian policeman, who fired on a Jewish neighborhood in the West Bank city of Hebron. A spokesman told Agence France-Presse that either the baby's father or brother was seriously wounded in the incident in the neighborhood of Avraham Avenue. The death of it was a 10-month-old little girl that died, and I believe it was the baby's father that was wounded, but that's not for sure. The death brought to 445 the number of people killed as a result of the Palestinian uprising, which broke out almost 6 months ago. So there we have it. Hoping that our boys are going to, and girls who are on tour over there, are going to make it out of there before all hell breaks loose, frankly. I got a report last. I guess Bob called in yesterday, not on the program, but home to his wife. And I guess him and some of the boys were out on the town. And you know how that can be. Boys' night out in the Galilee, getting a little rowdy. And apparently one of our tour members took it upon himself to inform a Philistine man that Mohammed is a false prophet. And he shouted it in the middle of a restaurant full of other Philistines. Well, needless to say, there was an argument that broke out, and apparently one particularly devout Muslim began cursing and screaming and freaking out. Chased our boys out of the restaurant. Now, this is third hand. I don't know if this is 100% accurate. But apparently a large group of Philistines congregated around our boys outside the restaurant, and the police had to be called. The Israeli Defense Force shows up with their Uzis locked and cocked, and they had to disperse this crowd of Palestinians and escort our boys back to the hotel. I just don't know about that, you know? You're in a foreign land, and you're going to start hollering in a restaurant that Mohammed is a false prophet? not very wise, I don't think. I would have said, "Hello, Mohammed. Hello, Ahmed. Have you heard about Jesus?" And then maybe we would have avoided nearly an armed conflict outside of a restaurant. But anyway, you know how our boys can be. They're a little bit boisterous and a little bit rowdy. But apparently they survived that. And we're not sure what city that took place in. But I'm sure we'll get a full report on that when Bob gets back to town. You get the first-hand story instead of my third-hand regurgitation. The number to call is 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. But as I say, just don't call. Just don't call. Because I got a ton of stuff that I want to get to. I've only got an hour. And, oh, by the way, Carl, today's going to be the last live show this week. Because constructions of the new KGov studios are fully in swing. And I've got to devote myself to that for this week. So this will be the last day I'll be joining you. But don't think that that's any pressure that you have to call me. Because I've got a lot of stuff that I want to get to. And I want to start, now that I've given you the Israeli update, I want to get to some baseball news. I don't know how a lot of you feel about baseball, but I love baseball. I played baseball from the time I was a little bitty until I was in high school. I played baseball, and I always loved baseball. Baseball has a special place in my heart. And I saw something on ESPN last night that I believe is yet another sign of the impending end of Western civilization. And it was a baseball-related story. Now, you know it's spring training, right? It's spring training, and the games don't count. But what I saw last night made me sick deep down in my soul. What I saw last night was Ken Griffey Jr., who's a very famous baseball player. They call him perhaps the greatest baseball player playing today. Ken Griffey Jr. He rounded third base. Third base, I said. And he pulled up lame. He pulled up lame after rounding third base, and he hopped and hobbled and stopped in the middle of the baseline and laid down. And the catcher literally walked out, and tagged him out. Now, Ken, I understand that it's spring training and the games don't count. But you were rounding third base, for crying out loud. The ball was overthrown. The catcher didn't get the ball at home plate. It was overthrown. You could have crawled home or hopped home. You were rounding third base. Is nothing sacred? Does anybody care about anything anymore? He laid down in the base path, and the catcher just walked out and tagged him out. And he just laid there. Now, Ken, I know that you make upwards of $10 or $12 million a year, and that your hamstring is probably very important and insured for millions of dollars. But you were rounding third base. You were almost home. I just remember the feeling I used to get when I played baseball and I was rounding third base. I could have broken an ankle and I would have crawled home. Well, I think Western civilization is rounding third base and it's going to pull up lame and it's just going to lay out. It's just disgusting. Ken Griffey, you're disgusting and foul and you should be banned from the game for setting such an example for the young people of America as to how you should act when you round third base. Unacceptable behavior, Mr. Griffey. I'm sorry. Sickens me. But then, after I saw that, I did get... Have you seen the bird that got killed by the fastball? Carl, you didn't get to see that? Oh, man. I mean, it's just... What are the odds? What are the odds? And, of course, it's on videotape. And the bird... The fastball was thrown, there was a fluff of feathers, and when they played it in slow motion, you could see the little bird's body just kind of flopping off into the out of bounds there, and the bird did not survive. And the question, I saw this on a local news broadcast. I was tuning in to get an update on the Oscars, just to see if anything new had developed. Anyway... The sportscaster asked the perky little ethnically ambiguous newswoman. He said, "Now, is it He said, I'm going to give you a true or false question. The pitcher who threw the pitch that killed the bird, did he ask then to be removed from the game because he felt so bad about killing the girl? Or killing the bird? I'm sorry. Not the ethnically ambiguous news girl, but the bird. So he asks her, is it true or false that he had to be removed from the game because he was emotionally devastated over the fact that he had killed the bird? And the ethnically ambiguous news girl just kind of sniffled a little and said, well, I'm sure he did. And the sportscaster said, no, he didn't. He continued to pitch. He pitched another 3 innings. He didn't even care. He thought it was pretty funny. It's like, wow, what are the odds of that? So that left me with some hope for Western civilization's future and baseball in general. But it was just so funny, the news girl, I'm sure he did. Oh. No. No, he didn't care. Just didn't bother him. He was more bummed that they called the pitch a ball. Anyway, so there's that. Baseball, sports is life. I mean, it's analogous. It's interesting. And I want to get on to some other stuff, though. Got a lot of news. What is up? Okay, my wife and I had a long conversation last night. And that's how I wrote most of the show that I'm doing right now. It's how I usually write my show, is I hang out with my wife, who's very smart. Very observant, very smart, witty, and pretty darn good looking, by the way. And 5.5 months pregnant, which is really cool. But so, because my wife is pregnant, we often discuss, pregnancy and things like that. And we were talking about our life and ourselves, and she said, oh, you know what? She said, I saw a TV commercial with Britney Spears in it. And she described the way Britney was dressed. Anyway, the discussion between my wife and I, it came the fact that what's up with Britney Spears showing off her uterus? Okay, I think it should be illegal for a young girl to show that area below her belly button, you know? That's where your uterus is, right? And me and my wife, we talk about the uterus a lot because we've got some activity going on in our collective uterus right now. We're having a baby. But what's up with Britney Spears showing off her uterus? How old is she? She's maybe 18 now, but she's been strutting around half naked for the last couple years that I can remember. You know, this chick is a walking ad for child pornography. That's what she is. Because she dresses the way she dresses, and she shows off her body, and she causes every man who looks at her to think about sex. And I don't know if you heard about this huge child pornography case that was broken yesterday, a ring of child pornographers from Russia to California to Indiana. It's amazing the amount of child pornography that's being peddled in America today. Amazing the appetite for it. Well, when you got whores like Britney Spears strutting around on stage, showing off their uterus for no good reason, by the way, the only person who should be looking at your uterus, Brittany, is your husband, in the privacy of your own home, and it shouldn't even be discussed. In fact, I'm sorry I brought it up now. But it's just disturbing that you can't watch a baseball game anymore with your son or your daughter or your wife without being embarrassed. When a Pepsi commercial comes on, and you've got a geezer, Bob Dole, ogling at this whore, Britney Spears. It's just disturbing. You can't watch TV anymore. And it's not just the content of the programming, it's the commercials. I mean, forget PG-13. I don't want my wife to be in the room when some of these commercials come on, and she's a grown woman. Anyway, she described the commercial to me, so I'm giving that to you third hand because I haven't seen it myself. But I generally trust her perception in these areas. She's a very jealous woman. And she doesn't appreciate Britney Spears strutting around on stage showing off her uterus. So, you know, Britney, you little whore, keep your uterus to yourself. Bob Enyart teaches the Bible like few others. And one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyart's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. New Testament clues which still point to Christ's actual tomb in Jerusalem. If you can't make it to Israel on the Bob Enyart tour, you can see the tomb in the video Mount Moriah. Answers all kinds of questions, folks. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, He carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah. And you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection. There's a mountain of evidence right here on the video, Mount Moriah.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931. And I guarantee you, they didn't sponsor the Gay Pride Parade in Denver like AT&T did. Give them a call, 1-800-684-2931.
And Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver, and we're going through the entire Bible, Lord willing. And you can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-ENYART. And have you heard Bob Enyart's debate with Calvinist Brian Schwertley? Quite a debate, folks. You've got to get the tape. It's 2 hours, moderated by John Mangopoulos. Bob debates a Calvinist, and it gets into every area of predestination, free will, Calvinism versus open theism. Folks, get the video. Bob debates a Calvinist, $24.95. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. And we're back, Bob Enyart live at KGOV.com. We're live worldwide on the World Wide Web. And the number to call, 1-800-836-9278. That's the number not to call, 1-800-8-ENYART. Don't call it, because I probably will not have time to squeeze you in unless you've got something earth-shattering. I mean, I'm sitting here with a story right now about a public school teacher who's a convicted felon. And worse than that, he's a former psychiatrist. Yeah, this is from the, I think it's the Muskegon Chronicle. I get this stuff emailed to me by my network of shadow reporters all over the country. And I think this is from Patrick B., who's very good. A former Muskegon psychiatrist who has 11 felony drug and fraud convictions is a registered substitute teacher in Kalamazoo, Michigan. James Dahlman is his name. And Kalamazoo and the State Education Board have already conducted their standard background checks and have approved Dahlman to teach in the Kalamazoo area. The ex-psychiatrist and drug dealer, apparently, and con man, filed papers saying that he has been paid for teaching, but school officials could not confirm that the ex-doctor has actually been teaching in the area. Now, why do I say he's a former psychiatrist? Well, he lost his license to practice psychiatry because he had sex with one of his patients. That's why he lost his license. State officials say that it is possible for felons to teach in the public schools, except for specific conditions, convictions relating to assault and battery and inappropriate behavior with children. State law essentially leaves it up to the school districts to determine if a felony conviction precludes someone from teaching, said a spokesman for the Michigan Department of Education. Great, great. You know, the fact that he was a drug dealer, that doesn't bother me near as much as the fact that he's a psychiatrist teaching in the public schools. I would much rather have my kids hang out with drug dealers than with psychiatrists, for crying out loud. That's scary. All right. Oh, boy. Which story do I want to do first? This is... Some more on Timothy McVeigh. This guy, I mean, you can't like the guy, right? Obviously, he's a murderer. But the way he's playing the system, you know, I get a kick out of it. I can't help it. He's keeping the government's attention on him, and he's forcing them to play by his rules in executing him. And, well, he keeps making the news. Dateline Terre Haute, Indiana. Federal prison officials in Indiana have told an animal rights group that they cannot compel condemned Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh to have a vegetarian dinner for his last meal. Yeah. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals apparently sent a letter to the prison. They sent the letter to the warden demanding that McVeigh not be allowed to, quote, take even one more life, unquote, and be required to eat a meatless meal at his last meal. What a riot. The group's spokesman says their motto is, nonviolence begins at the table. And I just think that Timothy McVeigh's last meal is probably an inappropriate place to pitch your particular belief system of animal rights. what a riot. Let me see. I've got a quote. The Federal Bureau of Prisons replied to the PETA letter demanding that Timothy McVeigh not be allowed to murder another and eat it. The Bureau responded in their letter, quote, the Bureau of Prisons is, quote, sensitive to animal rights. That's unfortunate to hear that coming from the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Sensitive to animal rights and the issues you have raised. And all the issues have been carefully considered. The Bureau of Prisons provides inmates with alternative food options as their meal prior to execution. The federal government... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Inmates are allowed to select, within reason, the food that is prepared, provided it does not contain alcohol, tobacco, or illegal substances. However, if they so choose, inmates may select meat. Sorry for all you PETA guys out there. You know, get a job. Sending letters demanding, anyway, it's a funny story, I guess. The federal government, by the way, has not carried out an execution since 1963, when Victor Fugger, convicted of a kidnapping and a murder, was hanged in Iowa. For his last meal, Fugger chose an olive with the pit in. Yes. He said he hoped that after his death and burial, that an olive tree symbolizing peace would sprout from his grave. So, you know, it's nice to be witty and profound when you're about to be executed. I hope I'm able to be that witty at my execution. Why do I say that? Because I saw something this morning that shocked and disturbed me down to the core of my soul, even more than the Ken Griffey incident. And that was this incident out in Atlanta involving the House of Prayer Church. Have you guys heard of this? The House of Prayer Church is a small church about the size of our church. 60, 75 members, something like that. Well, the church practices corporal punishment on the children in the church. In fact, they do it publicly at church. And sometimes with the older kids, congregants will hold the kid by the arms while the adult spanks the kid in church in front of God and everybody, right? And they make the kid apologize, and they give the kid a good beating. Well, the city Child Protective Services raided the homes of church members and removed all 41 children from the homes of their parents last week. And they've put the Reverend Arthur Allen and the elders of the church and several of the fathers, they're going to go on trial. They've charged them with child endangerment or child abuse or something. Being a Christian in public. I forget what the charges are exactly. But the Reverend Arthur Allen, and I don't know much about the guy, but boy, I like him. Because he was interviewed this morning by that, what's his name? I can't even think of his name because I think so little of him that I don't even... Matt Lauer. Matt Lauer interviewed the Reverend Arthur Allen this morning on the Today Show, which I always watch the Today Show in the morning. I always watch the first segment because I want to know what the great unwashed, ignorant masses are thinking that day. And they're all watching Katie and Fat Al Roker and that little homo, Matt Lauer. They're always watching it, so you got to tune in to know what the daily brainwashing session is about. Well, the Reverend Arthur Allen, this interview with Matt Lauer, it reminded me of the interview Matt did with the Serbian war criminal. And the Serbian war criminal, I forget what Matt said to him, something like, well, you know, give peace a chance or something like that. And the Serbian guy says, I'll grab you by the throat and kick your guts out and kill your family. Rah! Matt Lauer looked like he wet his pants. It was hilarious. Anyway, this interview reminded me of that interview because the Reverend Arthur Allen, he would not apologize. And Matt asked him, now, Reverend, hadn't the state come and asked you that if you would just stop using corporal punishment for 2 days, that they would consider dropping the charges and that they would consider not removing the children? And the Reverend said, well, I tell you what, Matt, why can't they just come on in there and change the Bible, too, and tell me whatever I can preach? How about that? And Matt just looked confused. And Matt said, but do you think that was an unreasonable request? And the Reverend Arthur Allen says, I got a request for you, Matt. I tell you what, I will stop using corporal punishment. I'll stop whipping the children whenever this government here stops killing the unborn babies. How about that? And Matt, just all the color drained out of his face. He didn't know what to say. Well, that's a much larger, different, separate issue that maybe we can get to later. And I was just jumping up going, go, Rev! All right! Now, Reverend Arthur Allen is definitely going to go to prison. I can assure you of that. Because this man is going to say some things in court that are going to get him in trouble. He may very well quote Scripture. At which point he'll be manacled and dragged and thrown into solitary confinement for, what is it called? Disrupting the court? What's it called? Disorder in the courtroom? Well, there's an official charge. I can't remember it. But my mind, I'm not 100% sharp today because I'm ill. I'm ill. Anyway, he'll be charged with something. Disrespect, quoting Scripture in court. Anyway, this guy's in deep trouble, Reverend Arthur Allen. He spanked some kids and he refuses to apologize. And he has the audacity to bring up the fact that the government kills children right in public on NBC. How dare you, sir? So I think we all need to keep the Reverend Arthur Allen from the House of Prayer Church in Atlanta in our prayers. And all the families out there. You should have seen the videotape. Little babies and children screaming and crying, being ripped out of their parents' arms and dragged out of their homes. It was shocking. Shocking videotape. You should have seen it. So, we'll see how it all shakes out, but it doesn't look good for the House of Prayer Church and the Reverend Arthur Allen. It doesn't look good. But, you know, the federal government hasn't executed anyone since 1963. And, so maybe there's some hope for the Reverend Arthur Allen. And, you know, one thing's for sure. I'm certain that when they haul Reverend Arthur Allen out for his execution, that he will indeed be very witty, very deep, and profound.
Twenty years ago, Christians got a great weapon. And I want to know, do you have that weapon ready to use on an atheist, on someone who believes in evolution? What happened 20 years ago? 20 years ago, Mount St. Helens blew its top. And you can see a video called Mount St. Helens, and it goes through the forming of strata over weeks and months, not millennia, not millions of years that evolutionists think it takes to create strata, and all these different canyons and log deposits, all these different things. You can find out how the Grand Canyon really formed. The Colorado River did not cut the Grand Canyon. You can see all this evidence in Mount St. Helens. A geologist named Steve Austin, PhD, goes through the evidence for you. It is not something that an evolutionist can debate. It's simply facts. We show you in the video how it formed. This is not up for debate. And how did Mount St. Helens do this, but it took the rest of the world millions of years? It stumps the evolutionist. It's a great video. You can get it here at Bob Benyart Live for $24.95. Now, I have to tell you, we have some new products for the Partnership for a Homo-Free America. We have three powerful bumper stickers. We don't do anything halfway. We have the ultimate abortion t-shirt available here at Bob Benyart Live, which we've talked about before. Now, we have the ultimate homosexual bumper stickers. The best one is a rainbow-colored bumper sticker. Starts off red, then pink, then blue, then green, then yellow, with two simple words: eliminate perversity. Awesome. Another one says, friends, don't let friends be homos. It's great. And then the third one, political correctness, the bastard child of Sodom, with a little tagline, partnership for a homo-free America. If you want one of these bumper stickers, there's $5 a piece. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put them on homo cars. It's a great witnessing tool. It's only $5 to spread the word of not accepting their lifestyle. It's so frustrating to even talk about homos. And it's so great that we have the tools that you can show how disgusted you really are with homos. Because obviously the goal is to get them to turn from their wicked ways. But how will they turn if they don't know what they're doing is wrong? So you can get these bumper stickers and many other things. You can sign up to be a member of the Partnership for a Homo-Free America, $50 a year. You get a certificate suitable for framing and free bumper stickers. Give us a call, 1-888-8-NYART.
And we're back. It's Bob Benyart Live on KGOV.com. I'm Doug McBurney sitting in while Bob is over causing trouble in Israel, as if they need more trouble in Israel. Contempt of court, that was the charge I was trying to think of, and I should know. I'm very contemptuous of most courts. And had I not had a lawyer at my last trial, I'm certain that I'd be in jail right now for contempt of court. But anyways, and I didn't mean to leave you with the impression that perhaps the government would start executing Christians. I didn't want to leave you with that impression. Certainly not. No, actually, I believe that maybe not within my lifetime. maybe right at the end of my lifetime that the government will be executing Christians. So hang on to your hats and we'll see how that shakes out. But I'm not scared. If they kill me, I win. Ha-ha! Anyway, scary, scary what's happening in the country. George Bush went to church. Story from Reuters, Arlington, Virginia. In his latest effort to find a place to pray, U.S. President George W. Bush on Sunday attended an informal church service at, guess where? The Clarendon United Methodist Church in Arlington, Virginia. That's right. Bush and the First Lady, they've been trying out Washington, D.C. area churches before deciding where to worship on a regular basis. Well, I would say, if you were going to worship at a United Methodist Church, that God would rather you worship in the Temple of Baal. Then at least he would know exactly where you stand. What I see happening, ladies and gentlemen, is the George W. Bush synthesis. And it will be disastrous. Because the left and the right are starting to They're coming to a state of confluence. They're not fighting like they were when Bubba Biljeff was in the White House and there was some animosity. Now everybody's friends. They're falling all over each other to give you back a few nickels in tax cuts. And that George W. Bush, meanwhile, is pumping more and more dollars into the welfare state, destroying more and more families. And he's giving lip service to the conservatives and lip service to the liberals. And here's it's the confluence, the synthesis that's happening is very scary, very scary. I don't see it coming out well with George W., but I think if he keeps going the way he is, he'll be a two-term president, and he'll be the most popular Republican president ever among Democrats. And that's what I see happening, and I don't like it. And I'm glad I didn't vote for him or anybody else. Yeah. I was scanning CNN last night. I'm hopping around on the channels trying to avoid pornographic commercials. And just hopped on CNN, and it just happened to be their top stories update that they do every 15 minutes. And they have like three bullet point stories. And the very one on top was campaign finance reform. Top story. This is CNN. Campaign finance reform. Give me a break. You know? I'd rather you just hit me in the face with a cat than have to hear stories about campaign finance reform. Golly. Johnny Cochran is at it again. Down in Okeechobee, Florida, Cochran spent 2 days meeting with the 14-year-old murderer Lionel Tate, who you'll remember beat a young girl to death and then claimed he was just imitating wrestlers. Well, Cochran met with this murderer, who's been sentenced to life in prison, by the way, which I disagree with. Me and Johnny Cochran agree on one thing. This boy should not be in prison for the rest of his life. Well, Cochran emerged from his meeting with the young murderer and said he had a new insight in the case, but he elaborated little about the conversation. Cochran said that he's volunteered to help in the case, not because it's sensational, no, but because justice was not served on March 9th, the day the Broward Circuit Judge sentenced young Tate to life in prison for killing a 6-year-old family friend. Her name was Tiffany Unick. He slammed her 48-pound body around the living room when he was 12 years old, and he killed her. Cochran is going to be working with his good friend Barry Scheck. And who's that other scumbag? Well, I'll get to it in the story. Quoting Cochran, he says, quote, "This is one of those cases where it's not about the money. No, it's not about the money. And it's not about the notoriety. Oh, no. If the headlock don't fit, you must acquit." Anyway, so Cochran says it's not about the money, and it's not about notoriety. He says it's about fashioning a remedy. Fashioning a remedy, he says. How's that for legalese? Johnny Cochran is going to fashion a remedy. That's just delightful. What does Johnny Cochran think about the young man? Well, Johnny says, "I saw a young man who was cautiously optimistic about the future and has a lot of concern about what happened in the past." Cautiously optimistic, he says. That's delightful. More than once, in an interview on Saturday, Johnny Cochran, expressed sympathy for the family of the murdered girl. But he also referred to her death as an accident. The judge, prosecution, and expert witnesses, however, said an accident could not have killed Tiffany. It was deliberate. It was proven in court. He murdered her. Cochran made clear that he believes public sentiment opposes putting someone in prison for life for an act committed at the age of 12. I agree, Johnny. Me and Johnny, we agree on that. Johnny Cochran says that to put someone away for life would be inimical to everything I think we believe in. Carl, can you look up this word? I don't know what this word means. Do you? Inimical. I-N-I-M-I-C-A-L. Anybody? Inimical? I'd hate to think that Johnny Cochran's smarter than I am. That would be disturbing. Anyway, he's used a word that I'm not familiar with. He says it would be inimical to everything I think we believe in this country. Of course, Johnny doesn't know what we believe in this country. You know? Let's see. Johnny says he believes that reasonable people knew that the young 12-year-old murderer did not get up in the morning of this accident and plan to kill his friend. No, Johnny, we understand that. He made the determination to kill the girl sometime after he started beating her. Cochran and a growing team of high-profile lawyers, including Barry Scheck and Peter Neufeld, who run the Innocence Project, and some other scumbag lawyer named Charles Ogletree, who, not surprisingly, is a professor at Harvard, have been immersing themselves in the case of this young murderer for several days. But Cochran has said they have not yet decided on how they will profane the name of justice. I'm sorry, how they will proceed in the case. Okay, Carl says inimical means injurious or harmful. I had a feeling that's what it meant from the context. But I just wanted to make sure. Tate's mother, the young murderer's mother, what does she have to say? She says, OJ got the dream team, but I got the miracle team. Yeah, it's going to be a miracle. Yeah, well, the kid's mother, obviously. Well, whatever, you know. Cochran will meet with assistant state attorney he met with him on Monday. Yeah, he's going to meet with the prosecutors and shuck and jive and talk him out of the life sentence, I'm sure. I'd like an opportunity to make my case that the boy should be put to death, but I doubt I'll be able to get audience with the prosecutors. Let's see. Tate's trial attorney, the murderer's trial attorney who lost the case, he says, Johnny Cochran is large and in charge of this show now. I'm just going to be following his lead at this point. It's like a Broadway show. I mean, it's showtime, you know? Johnny Cochran. I always loved, who was the guy on Seinfeld, the lawyer, who was fashioned after Johnny Cochran? Anyway, it was great. It was very funny. I can't remember what his name was, but very appropriate. Shucking and jiving con man. And he's the model, ladies and gentlemen. That's the justice system. Johnny Cochran, Barry Scheck. They should all be thrown in jail. Some good news. San Quentin, California. Double murderer Robert Lee Massey was executed by injection early this morning after spending 28 years as a condemned man. He spent more time on death row than anyone else in California, and he has now departed gracefully. He spent 21 years seeking to overturn his convictions, but he formally dropped his appeals last year. He dropped his appeals last year, and it still took him a year to kill this guy. He was sentenced to death for the 1979 murder of a San Francisco liquor store owner. He had been paroled in 1978 after serving 13 years in prison for the shooting death of a woman during a robbery in L.A. Well, he finally been put to death. He killed Mildred Weiss on January 7th, 1965, before my older brother was born. He was paroled in 1978, and on January 3rd, 1979, killed liquor store owner Bob Nomoff during a robbery. The son of the woman he killed back in 1965, he says this execution was supposed to happen in April of 1965. He said if that had happened, the Nomoff family would not have had to go through this. How about that? And how about we find out which judge that was and throw him in jail with Scheck and Neufeld and the shucking and jiving Johnny Cochran. We'll throw all of them in jail. Because the judge or the parole board, they're all responsible for this other murder that happened way back in the days of disco. And we're finally putting him to death now. It's unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I've got another good execution story that I'll get to right after this. Bob Enyart teaches the Bible like few others. And one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyart's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection? Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. New Testament clues which still point to Christ's actual tomb in Jerusalem. If you can't make it to Israel on the Bab En-Yahr tour, you can see the tomb in the video Mount Moriah. Answers all kinds of questions, folks. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, He carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah. And you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection. There's a mountain of evidence right here on the video, Mount Moriah.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931. And I guarantee you, they didn't sponsor the Gay Pride Parade in Denver like AT&T did. Give them a call, 1-800-684-2931.
And Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver, and we're going through the entire Bible, Lord willing. And you can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-ENYARD. And have you heard Bob Enyart's debate with Calvinist Brian Schwertley? Quite a debate, folks. You've got to get the tape. It's 2 hours, moderated by John Mangopoulos. Bob debates a Calvinist, and it gets into every area of predestination, free will, Calvinism versus open theism, folks. Get the video, Bob Debates a Calvinist, $24.95. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278.
Jackie Childs. That's the name of the shucking and jiving lawyer on Seinfeld, isn't it, Jackie Childs? I think so. Anyway,
you'd have to look that up on the internet, Carl. Go on to the search engine and just punch in shucking and jiving. See what we come up with. All right. McAlester, Oklahoma. An Oklahoma man who said he killed his wife and 2 children to spare them the embarrassment of his business failures is scheduled for execution this evening. Yes, he killed his wife and his 2 daughters. He killed his wife with a hatchet. Shot his daughters in the head. Said that he was depressed over his failing business. Yeah. And so he killed his family. He says he realizes now that that was a mistake, that he should have let his family decide if they could deal with the financial collapse of his business. Okay. Nice to see that he's coming around now that he's a triple murderer. An old friend of his, Phyllis England knew of Houston, will be one of his witnesses at the execution. She says, quote, "I wanted him to know that there were people on the outside whom he probably hadn't thought of in years who were thinking of him and wishing him peace." Well, that's awful nice of her, but I'd just like to let Mr. Fluke know that there are a lot of people that he doesn't even know on the outside who are wishing him torment and pain, unless he repents for what he's done. At least he admits that the murder was a mistake. Let's just hope that Oklahoma can carry this out in a timely and judicious manner. Have you seen all these Buddhas that they're blowing up in Afghanistan? Well, no, you can't see them because they blew them all up. They're blowing up statues of Buddha in Afghanistan, the Taliban over there. They blew up a 175-foot-tall Buddha. Yeah, it was completely destroyed through artillery fire and then explosives. The thing was almost 2,000 years old. And you know what? Doesn't bother me in the least. I could care less. I'd just like to see the videotape of the artillery strikes. I'm sure it looked pretty neat. To see big old fat Buddha's ear blown off, you know, and his little chubby little nose blown off, and then fat little lips blown off, and his chubby little hands crumbling down. That would have been pretty fun to watch. I did get to see it was still photographs of the explosion. That was kind of neat, but I'd like to see the video. You know they made video of that. I mean, how do you do something like that and not make a video, man? Dateline San Antonio, Texas. The remains of atheist leader Madeline Murray O'Hare have been buried at a secret Central Texas location. The Friday burial of O'Hare's remains, along with those of her son and granddaughter, ended a six-year saga involving the trio's abduction, robbery, and killing. William Murray, O'Hare's estranged son, said he honored his mother's instructions about the disposition of her body. And what do you think Madeline Murray O'Hare wanted done with her body? Well, she was cremated and no one prayed over her. That's what she demanded. And I think that was fairly appropriate. What does this note mean, Carl? Jackie Childs equals Philip Morris? What are you talking about? Phil Morris is the actor? Oh, the actor. Well, I don't care about the actor, Carl. I just want to make sure. But that's the right guy, right? The shucking and jiving lawyer from Seinfeld. Jackie Childs. Johnny Cochran. No kidding, man. He always wears purple suits. It's just the perfect knockoff. But and you know, it's a truth that we can laugh about these things. But what Johnny Cochran's doing to the justice system, it's no laughing matter. And the only reason Jackie Childs is so funny is because the joke is so true that Johnny Cochran is a shucking and jiving evil man who cloaks himself in scripture when it's necessary. And I hate the guy. All right. Now where was I here? By the way, Carl, thank you for that. Thank you for researching that. Madeline Murray O'Hare was cremated and no one prayed over her, which is appropriate. I mean, why pray for her? She's already in hell. She's been dead for a year and a half. You know, she's getting crispy on the outside by now. No sense in praying for her. Now, her son, American Atheists, the group that O'Hare founded 30 years ago, they've denounced William Murray as an inappropriate person to bury America's most famous atheist. Her son, Murray, William Murray, is a fundamentalist minister. Wow. Talk about rebelling against mom. Police were led to the grave down there in Texas by O'Hare's former office manager, who admitted that he kidnapped and killed the three. By the way, he's been charged with conspiracy. Part of a plea deal. He made a deal to close the case, and so he gets to live. Madeline Murray O'Hare, however, in hell, whether anyone prays for her or not. I hope she wasn't wearing any rayon. It gets hot down there. Have you seen this picture of Jesus on the web? What's up with that? This is what the BBC thinks Jesus looks like. This will tell you the state of England. England, by the way, where the King James Bible was translated 400 years ago. Well, it's been going downhill since then, trust me. They've got this picture of what they think Jesus looked like. He looks like, I don't know, he looks confused, scared, of low intelligence. I don't know, how would you describe this face? They make him look stupid, you know? And when Jesus comes back and he blows up BBC headquarters, he's going to throw this picture at him and say, what was this? You know, were you trying to upset me? And he's not going to look confused, believe me. He's going to know exactly what he's doing. Yeah. Anyway, you can check that picture out. It'll be on the news du jour until tomorrow, at which point I'll take it down. But I guess what would you expect from a secular media outlet but to try to make Jesus look like a confused person of low status? What more could one expect? What do I want to do next? Oh, boy. Speaking of England... To buttress and reinforce my point, get this. A British woman is planning to have a surrogate baby for two homosexual American men. Yes, Janie Davis, who gave up her career in dentistry to become a writer and some kind of freak, met the pair of queers when they flew into Heathrow Airport earlier in the week, and she's spending the weekend with them in the country. Miss Davis already has three children of her own and said that that no money is being exchanged in this pregnancy. No. This is a strictly a morality play for her. She plans to have the baby after being artificially inseminated, I guess we could have figured that, by one of the 38-year-old homosexual queers who flew into Heathrow, and his name is only released as Kevin, and he's known to work in publishing. He arrived in London with his boyfriend, Rob, who's a psychiatrist, and imagine that he lives in New York, of course. Where else can a homosexual psychiatrist have a successful practice but in New York, of course? Ms. Davis is planning to marry her longtime live-in boyfriend, this pig. His name's Steve. And she says, I've discussed it with Steve, and he's fine with it, because, after all, he's British, and he's an idiot. He's a moron, and he's an amoral pervert, just like me. She says, by the way, I love children. They're the most precious gift in the world. And if I can help anyone who can't have them, well, then I will. She says she's gotten a lot of negative feedback from people in general and even members of her own family. But she insists that it's none of their business. It's none of their business that I am going to mock God and nature and embarrass the entire family by being artificially inseminated by some perverted American queer. It's none of your business, Mum. Leave me alone, Mum. I've made me decision. I want to have the baby with the fag, Mum. Please, please, Mum. It's none of your bloody business. I want to marry my boyfriend now that I've lived with him for 13 years, Mum, and had three babies. Mum, don't tell me you're embarrassed. I've made me decision, Mum. All right. Dateline Salt Lake City. The Heritage Trail Celebration wagon train was set to leave Provo, Utah on April 24th and arrive in Glen Helen Regional Park in San Bernardino, California on June 28th. The 700-mile journey commemorates the colonization by Mormon pioneers in Southern California. Well, guess what? The regional park, the Glen Helen Regional Park in San Bernardino, has an Ozzy Osbourne concert scheduled for the same day. So the Mormons have canceled the wagon train. Come on. I mean, what better field to go and reap in than an Ozzy Osbourne concert? If you ever saw people who needed to get some religion, it's at Ozfest. Now maybe our church will send a wagon train out there, man. We ain't afraid of no Ozzy Osbourne concert. Okay, we're out of time. Thank you for not calling. I appreciate it. I even have some news that I didn't get to, so I do appreciate it. Tune in later in the week for Bob's weekly sermon. I'll be doing the Worldview on Friday. And I will remind you, as Bob would, always, to do right and risk the consequences.